As North Korea conducts another nuclear test, its neighbors weigh more sanctions.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. North Korea conducted a nuclear test this morning at an underground site in the country's northeast. The test is the country's third, and it's being condemned by the U.S. and other countries in the region. The BBC's John Sudworth is in Beijing, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, this device that was tested is said to be more advanced than the previous two tests. How do the North Koreans afford this, given the sanctions they're under?
It's a good question. This is a country that struggles to feed its own people, that regularly needs food aid in order to stave off what many people predict could be a famine otherwise. It suffered a very serious and acute famine back in the 1990s. It does so, of course, at the expense of the livelihoods of its own people. This nuclear program will have cost it so far certainly billions of dollars.
What is the response from neighbors like China, like Japan, and like South Korea going to be? More sanctions?
Certainly from South Korea and Japan, absolutely. They will be pushing for further and harsher sanctions, although on that score, it's worth noting that the sanctions are already about as tight as they can be. China is more difficult to read. In word, at least, it is growing more condemnatory. The statement out of the Chinese Foreign Ministry today condemned this nuclear test. But some people would suggest that perhaps what China says in public and what it thinks in private may not overlap, and that if you look at it this way, hawks within Chinese policymaking would see that the US has certain allies in this region. Chinese military hawks would say, why shouldn't they have their own ally, their own sort of proxy, if you like? And perhaps it doesn't hurt too much if it occasionally rattles the cage.
The BBC's John Sudworth in Beijing. Thanks, John.
It's a pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country, we'll get earnings this morning from the publishing company McGraw-Hill, which just happens to own the credit rating agency Standard & Poor's, which just happens to be the target of a $5 billion lawsuit by the Justice Department. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
The federal government claims Standard & Poor's is partly responsible for the financial crisis because it put AAA ratings on mortgage-backed securities that turned out to be worthless.
The government's allegations are as grave as one could imagine.
Securities attorney Lance Kimmel says this is no slap on the wrist. He says a $5 billion penalty would destroy S&P's parent company, McGraw-Hill, which earned less than $1 billion in 2011.
S&P, facing what I think would be a death knell, has no reason to settle. They're in a fight for their life.
McGraw-Hill already refused to settle once, but Kimmel says it will be tough for the government to prove that S&P manipulated ratings and hid that from investors.
I think the government's going to have a hard time on this one. Fraud is always a bit of an amorphous concept.
The other two major ratings agencies, Moody's and Fitch, also gave top grades to bad mortgage bonds, but so far the government hasn't sued them. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.2% in Hong Kong, 0.3% higher in London, and the same deal in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 21 points to close at 13,971.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The Ohio state legislature is holding hearings today on a new budget. The state's Republican Governor John Kasich is proposing tax cuts, but he wants to levy a sales tax on a big list of services for the first time. Nick Castell of WCPN in Cleveland reports now for the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk.
Here's a partial list of the services that could get hit with a 5% sales tax. Coin-operated laundry, dating services, investment counseling, online downloads, movie tickets, funeral services, and haircuts. Demetrius Williams runs Ambitions Barbershop in Cleveland. He's no fan of this idea. He says some of his customers complain they're already paying too much for their kids' haircuts.
You know, they say, hey, how much is a haircut? And you tell them 10, and it's like, whoa, $10 for a child? He doesn't have $10 worth of hair.
Most policy experts support the idea of taxing services. Zach Schiller at liberal think tank Policy Matters Ohio says if you want to keep state government running, you've got to do it. But he has a big problem with the governor's plan to cut income taxes by 20%. He says that unfairly favors the wealthy.
People in the top 1% will receive, on average, more than $10,000 a year in a tax cut. People in the bottom fifth will, on average, pay $63.
Schiller says Ohio should tax the wealthy more, not less. He says state funds have been cut back in the past few years for local government and social services. He says right now what low-income people really need is tax relief.
If we go ahead and we start taxing movie tickets and haircuts and so on, that low-income people who can least afford it, we should take other steps to protect them.
State Tax Commissioner Joe Testa says many of the services that would be newly taxed are professional services used by wealthier people.
We're talking about hiring lawyers and accountants and engineers and architects and marketers.
Testa says Ohio's been moving down this road for decades.
Two-thirds of all consumption is services as opposed to goods, whereas back when sales tax was started back in the 30s, it was almost the opposite.
Hawaii and New Mexico already tax more than 100 services. Several states, including Louisiana and Minnesota, have floated their own service tax ideas. Experts say this shift has been a long time coming. In Cleveland, I'm Nick Castell for Marketplace.
And finally to Washington State, where a family of five went out to eat in an Italian restaurant. The kids are 2, 5, and 8 years old. And according to Cairo Radio, all went well because the bill included an unusual discount, $4 off for well-behaved children. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.